A bird falls from the sky. Its glossy feathers shuddering against the icy wind. Its eyes are dull and dark. The beak clamped closed. Wings catch the air, and for a second, the bird soars. Then gravity's cruel hand smashes it against the cold earth.
The bird is fresh, not long dead. She nudged it with the tip of her shoe to make sure. For some unknown reason, the urge to cry swells in her throat as she stares at its tiny corpse. She glances around, searching for trees, power lines, anything it could have come from. But the stretch of pavement she stands on remains bare of anything overhead. The bird fell out of the sky and landed at her feet.
What's wrong, Evermore? You getting teary over a dead sparrow?
No. I'm trying to figure out why it's here.
Because it's a dead bird? They're everywhere.
She points upwards, and he follows her gaze into the cloudless sky.
There's nothing above us for it to fall from.
Maybe he had birdie cancer, cooked it in midair. For real though, why are you so worried?
I dreamt about a dead bird last night.
A sparrow?
I don't know, just a bird. It looked the same as this dude.
Their song might be brief, but how greedy would Bibi to ask for more?
What?
It's from the book you lent me, dipshit. Read it again. Anyway, you have a dream about a dead bird, and now you're getting the sads over one you found on the pavement.
Rose doesn't want to tell him, but in her dream, the bird fell unnaturally from the sky, limp and lifeless. She'd woken with tears on her cheeks and her chest full of sorrow. Finding the dead bird on her walk to school has shaken her, and as her silence lingers, Tyson picks her up and throws her over his shoulder.
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, put me down.
Tyson ignores her, like she knew he would. As he carries her into the school, groups of their classmates watch both go by.
She's a witch, a soothsayer, seer of dead birds, and prophet of destruction.
Rose won't admit it, but she likes that last one. She returns the wave of a bemused classmate and struggles to hide a smile as Tyson puts her down in front of her first class for the day.
There. Feel better? By tonight, the yucky bird will be gone. Oh, almost forgot. Thought you'd need breakfast.
He hands her a lukewarm can of energy drink from his backpack. Rose takes it, her expression clearing and becoming one of relief.
Ah, you legend. I totally forgot. I'll buy next week.
Damn straight you will. Bye.
He bumps into several students as he departs, and Rose is grinning as she cracks the tab on her can. Inside the classroom, a harried teacher is shepherding the class inside.
Welcome everyone, come on in, find a place and sit down, we've got a lot to get to today. Mid-semester career counseling has started up.
Rose settles into her favorite desk up the back, one that catches the sun every morning, but even that can't cheer her up from the thought of career counseling. She'd been preparing to feign illness to get out of it, but the dream about the dead bird has thrown her.
You got 10 minutes to fill out your sheets and then come up and see me for a chat.
A sheet of paper is laid on Rose's desk in front of her. With a smiley face printed in one corner, as though it can make planning your entire life at 17 any more bearable. She traces it with her pen. It makes it slightly more bearable.
When I was younger, I wanted to be...
She thinks back to a childhood with Tyson and a conversation that ran along a similar line.
A cat!
A what? A cat? Why?
They get all the best stuff. Food whenever they want, sleeping all day. Man, that's the life, Rose.
She imagines answering her sheet with a cat, and it's as though she can hear her teacher's disappointment. Too late, she realizes she's imagined nothing, and Mr. Burgess stands behind her.
You have to write something, Rose.
I know, it's just... I haven't thought about it.
Come on, let's go have a chat. You can have the first appointment.
Classroom next door is empty. The teacher sits behind the desk and gestures to the chair in front of it. Rose sits heavily.
You haven't thought about what you want to do after high school? You know that's the end of this year, right?
Rose is reminded constantly of this fact. She shifts.
I know. I'm well aware, believe me.
Do you want to go to university? Take a gap year?
A what?
A year off from studying. You can do anything, but most people travel. I enjoyed my time in the United States last year. I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah, that could be cool.
Rose sits up straight in her chair, her thoughts full of canyons and bald eagles.
Career-wise, though, is there anything you've thought about? I know your mother works at the hospital. Have you thought about following in her footsteps?
No, I don't like blood.
Well, you like reading, video games. Anything to do with those two spark your interest?
Her head is still filled with images of leaving the town and traveling to places unseen. A few moments pass before she realizes the teacher is waiting for a response.
No, I don't think so, sir. I reckon our appointment's up.
It's true. The 9:30 appointment is hovering anxiously outside the window, concern scrawled across his freckled face.
Oops. You're right, Miss Evermore. Off you go.
The unsupervised class is blissfully rowdy and talkative when she returns, providing the perfect distraction for her to slip amongst the desks and sit down, realizing too late that she's left her career counseling page in the other classroom. The restaurant, Crispy Burgers, is packed with students fresh out of school. Almost every table is crammed, and the booths overflow. Rose watches a pretty serving girl grin at the distracted cook, then turn to serve the student digging in his wallet. She tears her gaze away as Tyson slams his soda on the table.
And the ball definitely went out. I saw it, but the ref didn't call it. So rigged.
Every game you lose is rigged. Remember when you thought you'd found the underground betting ring during Milo Cricket?
Could you, for once, please not play devil's advocate?
Dude, we were five.
But I did find money changing hands.
Yeah, our registration fee. Give me some of your chips.
Though the hour is late, Rose is not at home where her mother requested she be after school. With a nervous look at her phone, which remains quiet, Rose pushes it further into her school bag and waits for Tyson to finish his meal.
I want to go. Do you want to come back to mine?
Nah, I've actually got some assignments to do.
Nerd.
Let me guess, you've already done the essay.
I might have done.
Can I copy?
No!
Tyson continues to try and convince her as they leave the warm, brightly lit establishment and head out into the car park. A chill breeze sweeps past them, bringing a voice to Rose's ears as her hair gusts in the wind.
Glossy feathers, shuddering against the wind.
What?
I didn't say anything. You all good?
Rose goes to respond, but as she does, they both hear the commotion behind a row of parked cars. Rose starts forward, but Tyson takes her by the shoulder.
Don't!
Rose struggles free and continues to the scene. A small group of students from their high school are gathered around one lone form, the new kid, Russell, also known to Rose as the 9:30 appointment from that morning.
Hey, quit it!
Shove off, Evermore. This doesn't concern you.
Just leave him alone. What did he ever do to you?
He's just some piece of shit from the big city. Probably reckons he's better than us, don't you prick?
He turns and kicks Russell in the ribs, and Rose launches forward to grab him by the arm.
Oh, you're not exactly disproving the theory.
Another student grabs Rose, and her bravado falters as she struggles to get free. Tyson finally emerges from between parked cars.
Enough! Let her go! The rest of you can disappear as well. Go home.
They release Rose, and Russell is left alone as the group throws jeers and taunts in their direction, slowly leaving the car park with staggered steps. Rose rubs her arms and returns to Tyson's side as Russell stands, wincing.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. I hate this shithouse town, though.
Russell heads towards the restaurant, leaving Rose and Tyson alone. Tyson puts his arm around her.
Come on. You'll be fine in there. Why did you interfere?
What was I supposed to do? Just walk on by?
Tyson doesn't have an answer for her, and merely shrugs as he steers her back to her car.
Sometimes you can't save everyone.
It's late when Rose pulls into her driveway after dropping Tyson off. She lets herself into the darkened house and slings her bag on the shoe stand. Out of habit, she scuffs her shoes on the frayed rug that covers the floorboards, an act her mother has promised she'll gut her for, but one she herself has picked up. Unnerved by the confrontation in the car park, Rose sets about making dinner for her absent mother, knowing she'll be home soon. She tosses a frozen steak into a hot pan, moving the lace curtains aside absentmindedly. As she wanders back into the living room, the heat behind her goes unnoticed until the flames begin to shine on the windows.
Shit!
She darts back to the fire that now spills across the counter, desperately filling a saucepan with water from the tap. She dumps it into the newborn flames, but falls back as the fire roars and explodes upwards in a ball of black smoke.
Oh, shit!
Her heart sinks, but she can't tear her eyes from the boiling orange flame. Shades of crimson and gold swirl in the pillars of fire. Golden sparks settle on her sleeve as she moves forward. Her hands tingle, almost buzzing, and a yearning tugs at her heart. She reaches a palm out, and the fire bends to meet her. Sirens wail down the street, and the moment is broken. Burning smoke fills her lungs, and she rushes, coughing, from the house as the first truck arrives.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. Mom's gonna be pissed.
An hour later, the yard is swarming with firemen. Though the house still smokes, and half the neighborhood has turned out to watch the event, it is the woman standing beside her, throttling a packet of cigarettes, that scares Rose most.
I said cook dinner, not burn the house down.
Yeah, I know.
You know, at 17, I would have hoped that you could have been left alone for a few hours without emergency services being called.
Thankfully, at that moment, a man in uniform approaches Christina, sparing Rose the follow-up on the disappointed lecture. She waits until he leaves before asking tentatively,
"Can we go inside?"
"We have to wait for the building inspector to sign off first."
She rubs her face with one hand. Still in her scrubs after a 10-hour shift, she'd been hoping to come home and into pajamas. Instead, she'd come home to the entire Metropolitan Fire Unit on her front lawn.
"Have you got any of those shitty energy drinks?"
Rose offers her a crushed stick of gum instead, but is waved off. Christina squeezes the packet of cigarettes, and Rose is immediately on edge. That gesture means a talk is coming.
"The neighbors who called 000 said they saw you looking at the fire, reaching out to it before you ran."
"Yeah, shock works differently for everyone, I guess."
"If there's anything you ever want to tell me, I promise I'll listen."
"There's nothing, all right? It was just a kitchen fire."
Her mother stares at her for a moment, and then tucks the pack of cigarettes away.
"You know, Rose, there's a traineeship opening up in reception at the hospital. You really should apply before the end of the week. You've finished your exams. You could start part-time work now. The pay will be crap, but..."
"Can we talk about this later?"
"Fine."
That night, after the paperwork is signed and the strangers have gone, Rose is unable to sleep. Acrid smoke and the smell of burnt plastic and mothballs have soaked into the familiar house. She creeps out of bed, her socks silent on the stairs. The cupboard in the hall houses her mother's stash of cigarettes and lighters, and it's easy to lift one from the drawer. She takes a deep breath, clicking it into life, and the bright flame springs up eagerly. Rose darts a finger through the white gold teardrop, and it flickers. Shadows close around her small form, but the flame stabilizes and starves them off. This time, she drags her finger over it slowly. There is no pain, no burn, as the fire passes over her skin. Even when she pauses, the heat pressed against her hand, there is nothing.
"I'm fireproof."
The floorboards overhead creak with muffled footsteps, and Rose drops the lighter. It extinguishes before it hits the carpet, but her heart stops for a moment as she scoops it up. She sneaks it back into the drawer as, upstairs, the shower curtain is drawn and the water pipes screech. Rose waits until she's certain her mother is in the shower, then pads upstairs to her room. She lies down in the dark, her vision dancing with flames.
"Hey, Rose here. When I'm not playing with lighters, I like to play video games, and one of those video games is Against the Storm by Hooded Horse. Hooded Horse has partnered with Sky Nation Publishing to bring you this fantasy podcast. Against the Storm is a roguelike city builder in which you play as the Queen's Viceroy. Lead humans, beavers, lizards, and harpies to reclaim the wilderness, unlock new technologies, and gather resources for the remaining citizens of the smoldering city. Against the Storm is coming to Steam in Q4 of 2022. The link is in the description of the episode, so make sure to wishlist it. Now, back to the episode.
Oi, you still haven't told me what we're doing out here.
It's cold as shit. I thought we could build a fire, you know, like when we were kids.
She dumps her armful of branches on the growing pile at her feet and dusts her hands. Tyson looks apprehensive and hasn't moved to help her gather material. Instead, he waits for her to look back at him.
And you just decided this now, even after the kitchen fire the other night?
That was an accident, and it was like a nothing fire. Few curtains went up, lots of smoke. Honestly, the tiniest, least impressive thing you've ever seen in your life.
I don't know. I've seen you.
Wow. Rude.
No, but seriously, are you all good? Is your mum being weird about the end of the year again?
Yeah, a bit. Some traineeship in administration is opening up at the hospital. She wants me to apply, and I literally could not think of anything I want to do less.
So you're building fires in your backyard?
Yeah, it's cold.
Fine. All right.
Together, they work in the backyard of Rose's childhood home, gathering dried branches and sticks from the park behind her house. The pile grows taller, until Tyson looks about for fire lighters to set some of the smaller tinder burning.
Where did your mum keep the burners?
I have a better idea.
Tyson watches as she lifts the bright red jerry can, previously hidden behind their old swing set, and begins to pour clear liquid across the branches. The strong smell of petrol makes his eyes water.
Where did you get that?
The garage.
She takes a lighter from the pocket of her jacket.
You should probably take a step back.
Wait, don't!
He's cut off by the sudden explosion of heat and flame. He staggers back and falls, his arm over his face to shield himself from the sudden flare. But Rose stands beside the new inferno. The warmth sinks into her clothes and skin, brushing her hair back from her face. She waits for the burn to come, and when it doesn't, she moves forward.
This is probably going to hurt.
Tyson watches, horrified, as Rose plunges her arm into the flames. Her eyebrows knit together, as though expecting pain, but instead, she withdraws an arm on fire and turns it so the blaze is contained in her palm.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit!
What the... Wait, how did you know you could do that?
Because I did it before. Tyson, I'm fireproof.
Tyson gets to his feet and approaches his friend, watching the flames flicker in her hand.
No way. This has to be a trick.
What? How could this be a trick?
I don't know. Maybe my brain is grabbing at any possible explanation, because otherwise, my best friend of 16 years is holding a handful of fire.
It's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's, I guess it is.
He turns toward a sound she doesn't hear, and when his hand comes down on her shoulder, she loses whatever focus was keeping the flames contained. She gasps as pain spreads down her arms, her jacket smoldering. She frantically shrugs her way free of it, leaving it burning on the ground.
What did you say?
I said your mum is home.
The screen door screeches open with a sound that sets their teeth on edge.
Rose Evermore.
You know, I think I preferred the fire.
Honestly, me too.
Christina is waiting by the door as the two trudge inside, Rose pausing to pick up her ruined jacket. Tyson slinks past the woman in the doorway, shoulders hunched, and Rose resists the urge to do the same. Both gather in the kitchen as the screen door crashes closed.
Of all the irresponsible behavior, I expected better from you, Tyson Wells.
Sorry.
From him?
Yes, from him. Because, unfortunately, Rose, I know you. Reckless, uncaring, doing whatever you want, whenever you want. Nothing matters to you. Nothing has consequences, does it? And as you're getting older, it's less endearing. It's troublesome. Quite frankly, it's bullshit.
Should I go?
Yes, go. I need to talk to my daughter alone.
Tyson scuttles from the room, stopping to scoop up his backpack. Both Evermores listen to the front door close softly, and Rose braces for the shitstorm of the century. Christina thumbs open the packet of cigarettes, lighting one between her lips. She sits heavily at the table. Rose watches the familiar routine.
Rose, is there anything you'd like to tell me?
Instead of answering, Rose looks at the cat-shaped clock above the sink. She watches the swinging tail count off the seconds, then places her phone on the table and switches on the flashlight app. A moment later, the power goes out, plunging them both into darkness. The bright beam of light from her phone illuminates the kitchen.
Same question.
It's not just the fire. I've been having dreams too, and the next day I see what was in those dreams. I think I'm seeing the future.
I think we should talk to a therapist.
There's a beat of silence before Rose throws her phone at the wall.
Even after I proved it to you, I gave you a demonstration.
You set yourself on fire. If I hadn't come home when I did, would you have turned up in the ER?
She grabs her daughter's wrist and pulls her close, but Rose's skin is unmarked. Christina turns her arm this way and that, her eyes wide.
That's not possible. I saw you on fire. Your jacket is burned to a crisp. How are you not burnt?
I held the fire.
Christina says nothing, and when Rose looks up, her mother's eyes are wide. A second later, she stands from the table and leaves the kitchen.
Where are you going?
Away.
Away? From what?
Everything. You. I need to think.
She begins to climb the stairs to her room, and Rose follows closely on her heels.
What have I done wrong? You can talk to me. You can trust me. I'm an adult.
You are a child. I can't trust you not to burn down the kitchen. Can't trust that you'll make the most of the opportunities I fight to give you.
What opportunities? Like what?
Did you apply for the traineeship at the hospital? No, I didn't think so.
Has it ever occurred to you to ask what I want to do?
You know, Rose, I would, if I thought you knew the answer.
She disappears up into the house, leaving Rose standing on the stairs, wanting, but failing to refute her mother's words. And even when the power returns an hour later, the house remains dark.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Her Crown of Fire. For more information on the production, head to skynation.info or contact us on Twitter using the hashtag #HerCrownOfFire. We'll see you next week with the next installment of this podcast.